Hello, this is the Unexpected Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Brooks. I'm a speech-language pathologist who found herself unexpectedly expecting. Tune in as I update you week by week along my pregnancy journey. Episodes will also feature chats with new and expecting moms. So let's get into it. This is 31 Weeks Pregnant. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Unexpected Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Brooks, and thank you so much for listening. I am currently 31 weeks pregnant. I'm feeling good, but before we hear too much about me, let's hear about what we can expect at 31 weeks. Now that you're 31 weeks pregnant, your baby's brain is getting more sophisticated and he's more active than ever in there, pedaling his feet, sucking his thumb, and practicing other important skills for the real world. You may be running to the bathroom more frequently and feeling tired faster these days. So brain connections, your baby's brain connections are developing at a rapid pace, which is a good thing because he's got billions of them. Sleepy baby. Your baby is a drowsy one, putting in longer stretches of snooze time, especially REM sleep. And if you want to wake him up, you can eat or drink something sugary. Your brainy baby can already process information and pick up signals from all five senses. If you're 31 weeks pregnant, you're in month 7 of your pregnancy, only 2 months left to go. And let's see how big the baby is. So weighing in at 3+ pounds, measuring about 16 inches long, your baby is quickly approaching their birth weight, although they have to pack on another 3 to 5 pounds before delivery. And they're basically the size of a coconut. Okay, so it's March 3rd, 2021. I am 31 weeks pregnant, 7 months. And today I'm going to chat with comedian Esther Steinberg about her experience with pregnancy and now parenting. Enjoy. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Unexpected Podcast. Today I am joined by Esther Steinberg. She is a stand-up comedian and mom. She has a stand-up special coming out March 30th called Burning Bush. It's going to be on iTunes and Amazon. She's also the host of Stand Up Mom Podcast. And if that wasn't enough, she is frequently on the show Up Early Tonight on Hulu, brought to you by Scary Mommy and Huggies, I think, right?
Yes.
Huggies, yeah. I had Abby on the show
amazing
a couple weeks ago, so I knew that. But yeah,
she's
how you
so
doing?
Funny. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. The kid went down. I've been alone with him for like 2 days and I actually kind of like it.
Oh,
sometimes
okay.
It's nice to just get dad out of the house and just do things mom's way. No discussion, no like who's going to do this diaper. It's just me and Momo, and we're figuring it out together. And oddly, it's been really nice. Don't tell anyone.
I won't. I swear.
Because when he came
home,
I'm like,
the whole audience.
Oh, I've been alone with my own kid. Oh, thank God you're home. Like, I didn't want to tell him just how great he napped and just how great he's been. But I just hit 9 months and I feel like that's a milestone. And I also feel like I just had a baby.
Really? Okay.
I feel like simultaneously I'm really have made it to a great big chunk of time. And also I feel like I just had a kid and I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, that makes sense. That sounds good.
Yeah. I just had a baby and I still feel like I'm a new mom. I just had a baby. And it's like, nah, bitch, you've been at it for 9 months. You know,
well, they do different stuff every month. So it's like a new kid every month.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. We are, he's really, really heavy and bulky and big and strong. So lots of things happening. Big, bulky, tough boy who is just constantly wanting to do the next thing. And so I'm just kind of taking his lead okay, if he's so interested in exploring what's next, then I'll push him and like be like, all right, let's. So he's like trying to stand on his own. And then I think we're going to get there soon. And then mm-hmm. I really want him to walk.
You're excited for walking because that means more travel.
Yes, but it also just means I'm assuming less lifting him. Right, maybe not because I'm chasing after him. He's a really good crawler. He like zips, zip, 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 zip. And I'm like, okay. right now, I think he's a dog. Everything he does is a dog. He walks on all fours. He like likes treats, puffs, snacks. I can get him like,
come here.
You want a treat? And I literally can get him to do things with treats.
Yeah.
And then I use a little spray bottle and he like giggles.
Yeah. I mean, that's similar to bubbles, but also like spray bottles seem like they're probably fun to play with. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes on walks and then I'm like, he's a dog. At this point, he's a dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, I have walks in my just had a baby plan. So is that something you guys do like daily, multiple times a day?
The one we will right now, it's one sad, cold walk.
Right. It's rough because
I'm also I'm really sensitive to the cold weather. I'll say it. I hate cold weather.
Yeah, I hate cold
weather. There are some individuals who are like, I kind of like it. Oh, it's chilly. I don't know that they have Southern accents, but they're like, okay with the chilly. And some people look like really cute, all bundled up. And it's I hate it.
No, I only like it if it's snowing and it looks really nice. That's the only time I'm like, oh, this is nice. Let's go for a walk. But then once the snow's gone and it's just mounds of disgusting ice on the corner, then I'm over it.
Yeah. It takes a personality to like, there are people whose favorite season is winter and I have to be like, you're wrong.
Yeah. You are wrong.
That is false.
People are like, well, when you're cold, it's all that you can feel. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Feel something else. That's I know. So I want to hear about your stand-up special and I want to hear about your birth experience. So where do you want to start?
I mean, we'll start with the conception, right? P and the V.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got married and we like had sex and after, I was like
at like the wedding,
like,
night?
A day before the wedding. And was like, or 2 days before, because we didn't spend the night before.
Right.
And then, so I'll just say our wedding weekend, he, for the first time, didn't pull out.
Oh, so he was like, I'm already in it at this rate.
We were basically so hyped on wedding juju.
Yeah.
I called it like bride crack. I was just like, really on such a high, and we wanted to start a family, by the way, it was 2019 and everything in the world was great.
Yes,
except
yes.
for everything in the world wasn't great, but no. It wasn't exposed. It
wasn't this.
Anyway, so we were just like, yeah, we want to start a family. And, oh my God, we're getting married. And I'm like, don't pull out. Let's start now. We absolutely assumed that it was going to take many, many months to get pregnant.
Right.
Because it takes many, many months. It just does. It did not for us.
Yeah.
We had a wild, all of a sudden I missed my period and I found out. And then I was like, we were about to go on our honeymoon. It was a couple weeks after our wedding. And I was like, wait a minute. I am pregnant, but I didn't want to accept it. And then I had like a little bit of spotting and I'm like, oh, I got my period. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. I have like a huge, gross, heavy flow. And this is like the most.
Just spots.
It was a little teeny spot. And I was like, how lucky am I? What a light period.
Yeah.
And then I did some Googling, which was like the beginning of my journey with Google.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, if sometimes when the sperm imprints the egg and fertilizes that, then it causes spotting. So you think you're having a period. It's like, what a mind fuck. Like you think you're waiting on your period and exactly when your period would happen is when spotting happens to indicate that there's a fertilized egg.
Yeah. It's,
and you then know it's what? 9 months of freaking out to make sure I hope that this doesn't turn into a miscarriage, because everywhere I went, people were like, well, don't be so sure.
I know.
Miscarries. And
that
I was like,
so annoying.
Okay. I know that everyone miscarries. But can we still celebrate my pregnancy?
Yeah. I had a couple of friends who were like, can you stop telling people? And I'm like, it's fine. Cause I was 8 weeks pregnant at my wedding. So anyone who came, I told, because I wasn't going to like tell this story where I'm like, oh, I'm just like not drinking at my wedding. Like, I'm not going to make up some story.
Oh my God. I don't know what's worse, being pregnant on your honeymoon or pregnant on your wedding.
Well, I had a pandemic wedding, so it's not like it was going to be like a crazy party dancing anyway. We rented a townhouse, but it would, I think, works on your honeymoon.
Yeah. We went to Italy and they were like, would you like some, which one? It wasn't even, would you want wine? It's like, which wine can we, can we get, did you take a look at our wine? Do you want wine? Would you like wine? And I'm like, yeah, I want wine, but I don't want to kill my child.
Yeah. But if you told them you were pregnant, they'd be like, so I'll give you a little.
And I tried, and everyone was smoking cigarettes into my mouth, into my lungs. Like, it was pre-pandemic and people were just puffing giant clouds of smoke into my face. And I was like running away, like, I can't. But I wasn't telling anyone I was pregnant, because I was technically like 5 weeks, six weeks.
Yeah.
According to the pregnancy app, my kid was the size of a grain of rice.
Right. Yes. Yes, I recall.
And then it became a blueberry. Or I think I was, I don't know. Oh my God.
Blueberry's way further down. You could have like poppy seed.
Yes.
Yeah.
the food.
Yeah.
But I immediately was like, my back hurts. And then I told my mom my back hurt, and she was like, are you pregnant? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell my mom I'm not pregnant, because I am, but it would have been nice to announce it. But instead, my mom basically yanked out the information.
Right. Yeah. Moms.
She knew. A minute, I was like, my back kind of pregnant. You're pregnant. You must be pregnant. And I'm like, sure. And then I did all this, you know, dumb research about how your bones have, what is it? The hormone that makes it all painful. It's called like relaxin or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And then, you know, it was really painful in my back. I remember that. Yeah.
I had the lower back pain. I didn't have too many symptoms, but I had lower back pain in the beginning.
Yeah, that's good. And then certain smells were like getting to me, but in general, I was just like, okay, my back is killing me. And then other than that, I lucked out without too much like morning sickness and everything that people constantly are like complaining about how much they're throwing up. But I'm like, I didn't quite have that, but I had a crazy appetite and I just went crazy. 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8.
In the beginning or the whole time?
I don't know if it was as much in the beginning, but by the second trimester, it was third trimester. I mean, I was like scarfing like probably twice as much as I normally ate, possibly three times. Noah was like, you know, he would be like the burrito guy. And I was like, everything he ate, I met.
Really?
I was eating like I was a, you know, 245 pound man.
I feel like for the past month, I have just not been hungry. And I feel like I have heartburn and I get full so quick. But in the beginning, I was like savagely starving. Like if you even interfered with me eating, I like got into a fight with a friend. I would be mad at Mike. Like I needed to eat, and I needed to eat immediately.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, am I fucking up? I don't eat that much.
No, you're fine. I mean, there's a little person inside you being like, feed me and you'll listen. And
it comes
in you being super hungry.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a banana, a smoothie, spaghetti, some chicken and pizza today. So I'm doing okay.
You're like, and I just like barely eat.
I barely eat. I legit don't eat.
I was just scarfing down. I mean, it was just, and I think Noah was like found himself useful in cooking food and making food. And I would like bark orders at him to make this and make that. Mm-hmm. And he actually ended up getting really good in the kitchen.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah. Surprise yeah. twist. My husband learned how to cook because I would just like shout, make me this, make me this. And then the pandemic happened while I was pregnant. Like I was touring and doing like a one woman show while I was like, had a big bump and I was doing comedy with the bump. And I started to love all the jokes I was telling. Cause it was almost like you have a prop and you're just right. like so much more funny. Mm-hmm. You're no one in the crowd is, I don't want to say that I would go up and people would like judge me or whatever. But I mean, I think that being like a 20 something cute girl, you're trying to always prove to everyone, like I actually am funny.
Right. Yeah.
yeah. And then being a pregnant lady, I think it's just disarming and people are like way more willing to laugh because you're not cute. I mean, you're adorable.
Right. But you're doing no one's something.
Like, is she trying to fuck my man? Like right. the energy is gone of any kind of threat, any kind of anything. You're just like, there's a pregnant chick on stage telling jokes. And it's a teeny bit novel and I'm here for it. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'll take anything I can get. So I was having so much fun telling pregnant jokes. And then that came to a halt. But I was like planning on doing an album. I'm like, I'm going to do all these pregnant jokes and I'm going to have a pregnancy album. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into, they were like, I reached out to the Comedy Dynamics where I did my last album. And they were like, okay, we'll do an album with you. I'm like, yeah, I'll have a pregnancy album. Yes. And then they were like, actually, we want to do a special. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do a pregnancy special, 9 months pregnant. And in my head, I was like, I was really, really excited. And I think that kept me really going and really optimistic. And then obviously the pandemic happened and I got like emailed 2 days in and I was like, yeah, we're not going to do the special anymore. And I'm like, that makes sense. And I'm happy I handled it pretty well. I was like, okay, no worries. I guess I'll just have a baby.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll just have a baby. And then what happened is they contacted me and were like, actually, we are going to do it. And then they said it like, I think it was like July 7th or something. And that was 6 weeks after my due date or maybe 7. And then that became the thing was like, okay, I have to make a baby. I have to get the baby out of me. And then I'm going to do my special and it's going to be a postpartum special. Mm-hmm. And so
that sounds way harder than being 9 months pregnant.
I don't know. Yes and no.
No?
Because those two things kept me occupied. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're stressed out about your special? Stress out about your baby. Oh, you're stressed out about your baby? Stress out about your special. So like my mind got to juggle the two stressors, which was oddly nice and also stressful.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just say that because my number one fear so far is like my rebounds. Like, when am I going to feel physically capable to like stand up, carry, move, bend up and like go up and down stairs and like do things like physically? And I'm worried about like being so uncomfortable postpartum.
Yeah. Physically. And I don't want to be like, and you should be.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's just so something I had to learn is like, it's not really up to you.
Right.
Like whether your boobs have a ton of milk, but for some reason the kid's not latching, mm-hmm. or if you have a kid that's amazing at latching and you're barely producing milk, how the hell do you know? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you just do not know. Is your cervix going to like open up like a giant balloon and a baby's going to slide out? Or hopefully. Are you going to have an emergency C-section? I don't know.
Yeah.
Could happen. I hope the best for you. I was determined and I like would steer anyone away from anything that starts with determination.
Right.
I was determined.
I'm trying to be flexible.
Yeah, exactly. I was determined to have a vaginal birth and I was determined to breastfeed for like a whole year and it just didn't happen. And I was also determined to like do things as natural as I could. And that did not happen either.
What did happen?
Oh God. What did happen is I got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. By 4 or 5 months, I think people were like, oh, this girl's about to pop. And I'm like, but I'm not. And I was so big. How big? So big. I was so fucking big. And yet nothing was coming out. And my mom, and like moms can be so annoying because they think they know everything, and they kind of do, but it's also just like, let me be a person.
Do they? Because I really hate sentences that start with, you should really. And you should really shut up.
Yeah. Well, it's also really annoying. Like, okay, it's going to happen that way. So my mom, in general, I do believe, and this is really annoying, but I really kind of buy, however your mom, your personal mother delivered you and her experience will probably kind of sort of reflect your experience. So my mom was like, you know, you were late, Jacqueline, like your sisters were late. It's just going to happen. And I was like, no, I will have this baby on time. He's going to come at his due date. And she was like, okay, whatever. Of course he was late and we had to induce, which to me was just like, oh, I don't want to have to induce. I want him to come. I wanted the water to break. Right. I wanted to rush to the hospital because I'm having a baby. And it did not happen like that. Right. And even I went into the doctor, maybe I was a week late or something, or maybe I was like right at my due date. And I was like, here I am on my due date visiting my doctor. And I was basically just like, I don't want to induce. I want to wait. I want to give it time to happen naturally. And it didn't. Mm. And I was disappointed because I was so headstrong that I, of course, was disappointed. So we're on our way to, we finally were like, okay, they said, we'll wait until this Friday, or I don't know, it's like a Thursday. And so finally I was like, okay, we'll go into induce today. And we were supposed to go in at 8 o'clock, and they called us. They're like, it's slammed. All these women came in with, like, you know, their water broke. They're actually going into labor. So then, of course, that just made me feel even worse because I'm just like, oh, great. The girl who has to induce gets bumped by a bunch of bitches who are just like gushing water. And they're like, I could only imagine like all these women having a natural birth. And then me just being like, here we go. And then
ruined. Everything's ruined.
Yeah. I did something. I was on the way to the airport. It really felt like we were going to the airport.
Well, yeah, because you're rushing, you know.
And it wasn't. They're like, it wasn't even rushing. They finally called at midnight. We called the hospital. So we're supposed to be in there at 8. And then I was like, can you call? And Noah's like, hey, so we were supposed to come in at 8. And they're like, oh, did you still want to come? Because it's midnight. And we're like, yeah, we still want to come. And they're like, oh, okay, then come now. There shouldn't be too much of a wait. And I'm like, promising, you know, and like all I wanted was to like be bursting with amniotic fluid.
Yeah.
And to have this natural birth. And instead it's like, I feel like we're at a TJ Fridays and we got a buzzer to wait for our table. Like it was just fine. So we're going to induce. I didn't have, midwives and things like that, but maybe I had a fantasy of having like doulas and midwives, and it's just completely out the door. And then on our way there, we're in our car and we're like headed to the hospital, and I'm so excited to just get this freaking baby out of me.
Right.
And I said to Noah on the way there, I'm like, if they want to do a C-section, they're going to have to put a gun to my head to cut me open. He was like, got it. Got it.
Women are like, crazy.
No, you listen to me. They force those C-sections. They force them because the doctors want to get home early for dinner. So they just force you to have a C-section. And that's not going to happen to me.
I did see that on The Business of Giving Birth. Ricky Lake I watched
The Business of Giving Birth, which put all these ideas in my head that doctors are rushing home to dinner.
And they said midwives are witches and you can just have a baby in a bathtub by yourself, even if it's breech.
So, I'm here with all of this propaganda that I've filled my head with.
Ricky
and like in a perfect world, I have a baby on a farm in a bathtub with nothing. But it wasn't a perfect world. I come from a long line of babies that don't know when their time is ready. Like they had no concept of due date. Mm-hmm. I also think it's crazy that, you know, we're given a due date and it's different in France. Your due date is different than your due date in America. Like,
right.
but you're given this due date and you just sit back and like count the days or whatever. And then you pass the due date and you're like, I hate everyone. But then there's, of course, the flip side. And I've gotten familiar, which is people who give birth really early and have premature babies. And they go to the NICU and they have their own like traumatic journey.
Yeah.
So I've learned to accept and love my baby that was so late and didn't want to come out. Anyway, so we go to the hospital. They like, it took a pretty long time. I don't know if you know this, but they, well, maybe it's different at every hospital, but they put me in a room away from Noah, my husband. Oh. And they were like, have you been abused? And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. And they're like, have you been this and this? And I'm like, no. Can I give birth now?
Right. They're just screening you.
Yeah. And oh, well, yeah. And I also had to take a COVID test the night before. Yeah. And, you know, like,
crazy.
So, anyways, right before you go into your triage and then you're this, it's like, first, we're going to grill you on whether
you've. Yeah. It's like every level of trauma. Like, but and how I'm about, like, okay, physical trauma. All right.
Now. Oh, and then they always ask you, have you been pregnant before? How many abortions? How many miscarriages? You know, mm-hmm. And I'm very, very fortunate. My numbers are zero and it's my first pregnancy. But like, if I had a miscarriage and abortions, I mean, another trigger, like,
right. Really, yeah. Right. It's torturing me at this rate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now that I'm about to give birth, why don't we talk about all my miscarriages and my abortions?
Yeah.
Fuck.
What else do you want to know? You want to know about my childhood?
Like, who bullied you? So then you're, and also you're 9 months pregnant. You're right. So big and hungry and moody. Anyways, so we finally get a room. Finally. I think it's like hours later. And then the room was nice. And then you're like, I'm in my room and I'm going to give birth in this room. Possibly.
Right.
And then, you know, I felt like the nurses were angelic. I thought they were like angelic creatures. I really had a great experience with the nurses. I wanted to like make out with all of them because they were just like gentle and lovely and kind and nurturing and like everything I needed. And they started pumping me with Pitocin. And oh, first it was they put a pill to soften the cervix, which is very common. And they're like, we'll check on you in 4 or 5 hours. 4 or 5 hours go by, there's no budge. And then they're like, okay, we're going to try the balloon. Then my cervix opens like 1 or 2 centimeters, but like your girl is shut. Like, oh, no. My cervix was a frosty little bitch and she would not open up. I know people who took the initial pill and just went into labor immediately.
Right.
I apparently am. My drug tolerance is incredibly high. And then they finally, I was like, I don't know, do the next thing. And they started giving me Pitocin. So then they cranked up the Pitocin. Hours went by, hours. They would check on me, nothing. They would check on me, okay, 1 centimeter more. And then I was like, I'm in pain. Can I have an epidural? And then they're like, yeah. So they get the guy with the epidural comes and he's kind of older.
Oh.
Okay. And I liked it.
Oh, okay.
And he
you
was
made me
like,
nervous when you said he it. Was like, he can't see where my spine is.
I know. No, he had been around town. He clearly, I was working with like the supervisor of the supervisor. And I said to him, how long have you been doing this? And he's like, 35 years. And I'm like, have you ever had an issue? And he's like, not once. And I'm like, great. Give me the epidural, you know? Right. And he did. And it was great. And then sometimes I think like people in LA have a different experience than New York, or it depends what hospital, but they
where were you? Were you in LA?
I was in near Presbyterian. Oh, so okay. Like right next to the Bronx, but not the Bronx, mm-hmm. but right next to the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And there was a clicker that they gave me. You push it and you get more epidural.
Right.
But you can't kill yourself.
That's good. It stops you before that.
Yes. Okay. And they're like, keep giving it to you. And I was like, really? I can just keep going. So many, many hours went by and I would click my clicker and they had, finally they were like, it's been a long time. So I was like 30 something hours in and my freaking cervix was still not
And at that rate, were you just like, just cut him out of me, or were you like natural?
I was just like doing my mantras, like my body, my open up, please body. Like I was still trying to mentally, you know, manifest, like get him out. Yes. Open up. I was trying to tell my body to open up. And I like, cause I'm all about like visualize,
focusing,
open up. You got this. You can do it. You were made for this moment.
Right.
And I
was, now you're like,
I guess I was kind of holding on to this hope that all of a sudden they were going to come in and check on me and finger me and tell me that he's crowning. And it just didn't happen. So then 36 hours in, they were like, we think that maybe we should do a cease. And I'm like, yeah. And I didn't want to disappoint.
I mean, they waited so long.
They waited so long. So I felt like I gave it my all. Yeah. I gave it my go. They also had to get a supervisor to approve the amount of Pitocin that they were giving to me because it was like above whatever is normal. They just kept going more. And then finally they were like, we need someone to supervise. And then they were like, yeah, I'll okay it. So they had me at like max dose. Mm-hmm. And still my body was like, we're good.
Right.
We don't want to have a baby today. And we got to Friday at 6:01. Finally, the door shut and I didn't call my mom or anything. Like there were people on the line wondering like what's happening. And finally, I just said individually to Noah, I was like, I'm not going to call my mom. I'm not going to text anyone. I just want to make this decision on my own. I'm going to let's do the C-section. No, it's like, okay, yeah, I agree. You gave it your all. I'm like,
that's
gosh,
good. That's
men are so useful. By the way, he was miserable because it was cold.
But it was also like 36 hours and you guys started at midnight. So I keep thinking, when did you sleep and did you eat? And then because they starve you once you get there, right?
They do. I guess that's the story. But my personal story is we just kept asking them for food. Like Noah was like, can I get a coffee? And I'm like, can I also get a coffee? And they're like, can we get food? And they brought like gross turkey discs and I like gobbled them up and they brought some food and I don't know if I was allowed to eat it or not allowed, but I was so hungry and I didn't care.
Right. Well, that's good. So you ate. I hear they starve you.
But I ate. He also had like chocolate batons and like Cheez-Its. Like we were just snacking for 36 hours.
What else?
Literally nothing was happening.
Yeah.
They were giving me drugs, but nothing was actually happening. And finally, you know what it was that was the like trigger moment for me to like, well, first of all, it was the nurses and doctors being like, it's time to do a C-section. But also I was, they told me that they were monitoring my heart rate and they were monitoring the baby's heart rate. And then the baby's heart rate was totally fine until hour 35 or something. And they were like, okay, so it's starting to look like the baby's heart rate's going up and is getting affected by
stress.
Exactly. And I was like, my baby. And then I'm like, well, we need to do a C-section. So I felt like you know what? It wasn't like, oh, my doctor was in a rush to get home. So he did a C-section. I was like, no,
we went a long time.
There was 9 shifts happening. Like you see the nurses come and go. You're like, bye, Sally. See you next week. Like how long I just felt like I lived there, you know, how long am I going to be here? And then we got into the operating room and, you know, I was awake while they cut me open and pulled out the baby. And then
and you were like cognitive.
Yeah. And like, I definitely felt like jello in my legs, like couldn't feel it, but I could kind of feel tugging.
Okay.
It's almost like, but it wasn't that
like pressure.
Painful.
Like,
so I have like a hack for getting a C-section.
Oh, and what is that?
So what happened is the anesthesiologist was this dude and he was sitting next to me because he did his job, which was to like numb me.
Right.
And he was sitting there and Noah was sitting there And then a bunch of people were operating on me.
Right. On the other side of the curtain. Did they have
a big curtain?
Yeah.
Now, had everyone been quiet, I would have laid there thinking, all right, that kind of feels weird. That feels weird. What was that? What was that noise? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do like when you're getting a massage, you're so aware of like, that feels good on my shoulders. Oh, you know, like you're being touched and you're very, and you don't see it, but you feel it. Right. So even a massage would have felt weird because you know what's happening. They're cutting you open and yanking out a baby and stitching you up. And like, are they moving organs around? I don't know. Instead, what happened was this anesthesiologist had a Chiefs hat. I don't care about sports. My husband says something about his like Chiefs scrub hat. They start talking about sports. Somehow I start talking about sports and I forgot. Well, now I don't know if I forgot, but it took me out.
Right. Okay.
Of, is that my thing? Is that, oh my, are they pulling this? What are they yanking? Like, I think it's like, you don't want to be so focused on the surgery because you are aware, but you can't really feel it, but you could feel tugging. Uh-huh. And no matter what, in your brain, you're like, oh, I'm getting cut open. Right. It's gross. It's crazy. It's almost like someone giving you a shot and you're like watching the shot happen. You're like, ah. But like if you were distracted, you wouldn't know. It was like a pinch.
Right.
But I think like as much as someone can kind of talk to you about, and it was the dumbest conversation. I think it was like sports teams. And then he's like, where are you from? And he's like, Denver. And I'm like, yeah, we're Denver fans. Like it was small talk.
And you weren't like wacky. The drugs that they gave you.
I was probably like me drunk or me high. Okay. Like also I'm so good at drugs. And I think that that's a problem. Like clearly that was like, sorry, right. Pitocin, but yeah. Your girl has a high tolerance. Yeah. Like the way I described it. But no, I mean, I think I was loopy, but maybe like one glass of wine loopy, okay. Not like, bleh, bleh, bleh. I wasn't like Quaaludes, Wolf of Wall Street.
And you're not puking or anything because of the anesthesia. You're just like pretty standard.
Yeah, like one or two glass of wine loopy, but still like I can have a conversation. So anyways, I guess my advice is like, get out of thinking about your C-section and talk to someone about something dumb.
Thanks for listening. That's it for part one of our conversation with Esther Steinberg. Join me again next week for 32 weeks and hearing more from Esther. The Unexpected Podcast is recorded and produced by Deborah Brooks and is brought to you by SLP's Wine and Cheese Podcast and the Sit Down Podcast with Mike Racine. If you're enjoying the show so far, please take the time to rate and review us on your podcast player. See you again next week. Bye.